Okay. The Rav Kook's parish on the Haggadah is found in the Sidur. So Rav Kook wrote a parish on the Sidur called Olat Riyah. So in the middle of the commentary in the Sidur, he has the text of the Haggadah Shal Pesach, and there he gives his commentary. They have printed it separately after the fact, so if you've ever seen separate printings, it was never meant to have been printed alone. It was within the Sidur, so I have the Olat Riyah with the Sidur. So that's where this is the printing that I gave you is a newer Moseder Rav Kook edition. So it's a little bit clearer print. And we'll look at three pieces. The first one is on Chirut, the idea of Chirut and why Pesach is Zman Chirutenu. The second is on Kadesh, and then the third is on Halachmanya. So the openings to the Seder, like it or not, Pesach is coming, and it's good to start getting into the mindset. Okay.
Can I say a joke in the recording?
Sure, why not? What's the joke?
It's not really a joke. Did you see the meme of this like picture that they were posting about this like woman with a humongous cup? I said that important women have the heel to drink until they don't realize that only 4 weeks till Pesach.
Oh, yeah, very good. Yeah. I saw that one. That was very good. It's many jokes of that kind. So the beginning. So Rav Kook here builds a certain kind of philosophy about how we're supposed to look at freedom, the idea of chirut. It's an idea that I think is found in other places in his writing, but it is a very compelling idea. So let's go through it. It's on the left column, and it's kind of like an introduction to his Perush on the Haggadah. So he writes like this: Eila hashanim hamisamnim lanu et chag ha-geula, chag ha-pesach zman chirutenu. Eila hashnayim chag ha-geula, chag ha-pesach and zman chirutenu. So ledorot ma anachnu lemedim me'ela shnei hanosim halalu hatluyim zebazeh. We have these two concepts, okay, that are dependent one or the other. And what do we learn from these two ideas being together? Hatshuva hanitzchit hi shetznai hageula shnayim hema. It's like a principle, eternal principle, that the conditions of the geula have two prongs or two kind of avenues to them. Hachirut ha'atzmit. This is the individual freedom, chirut haguf mikol shiabud zar, mikol shiabud hakofet selam Elohim asher ba'adam liot mishuabal lekol koach asher hu morid et erko. So that's talking about the type of subservience where a person is unable to to be free on their own. Something that's preventing your physical kind of freedom. Something that lowers your personal self-worth, your personal value. The only way to accomplish this type of freedom is spiritual freedom. Spiritual freedom is going to be something that's above and beyond our mundane activities. Chirut haruach mikol ma shehu mateo tam misilata yishra ve'etana yitzikav ma'oto ha'atzmit. Chirut hazot ina nikniki ma'yedei chiruta shel neshama. That's the first one. Chirut haruach mikol ma shehu mateo. Fine. So the first one is chirut haguf, chirut atzmit, and chirut haruach. Aval eila shnei sugei chirut einam ba'im ve'ein ha'adam betur ishiu pratit v'lo ha'am betur kibbutz shalem ba'al ruach miyuchad zochelem. Ki ma'yedei ha'bi'ur Mikol gvulo kol davar makeva cheruto. So, so what is he talking about here? He's talking about biur chametz, right? What is biur chametz? Spiritually speaking, biur chametz is a certain type of elimination of the things that get in the way of our ability to be free. And he's going to expand on this in a minute, what he means exactly by it. It's obviously an idea that's quoted in many many places, that chametz is compared to a certain impurity or a block, right? It's a certain limits our ability to the Seor Sheba Isa, it's the represents arrogance and haughtiness, and Shehezeko Matsu Bioter Be'eda Sheor Shel Geula Minotzetz Alav. So he has this idea that, maybe we saw this a little bit when we were learning Sanhedrin, you know, the when the Geula is about to come, that's when all of the Seor Sheba Isa, all of the problems, all of the arrogance, all of the things that are going to stand in our way and try to prevent us from getting there, are going to be most prevalent at the time of the Geula. I think we had the Gemara said. It's actually not in Sanhedrin; it's in Sota, Chutzpah. Right, Chutzpah is going to be rampant right before the time of the Geula, which Rav Kook spoke about in his essay on Hador, on the generation in the early 1900s when he came to Israel, and he spoke about the generation as having chutzpah but using it in like a positive way, right? They're not channeling it only in positive ways, they could be channeling it also towards other things, but he saw it as the beginning of something very very strong and very positive.
Have we made a connection between the two kinds of chirush?
I think he's going to say it. Lilamein anu tzrichim eich lesagel lanu et oto haruach hagadol shel chirut shezarach aleinu omnam betkufot meirot shelanu. So to understand this, we have to understand what the chirut is. What is this? What is the idea of the chirut? That we're experiencing at these kind of periods of the year. And its first kind of manifestation of this great experience of chirut was at the time of Gula Mitzrayim. Okay, so we left the slavery, the foreign slavery, that was totally, false and anti what the true avodah that we want to be involved in. So he explains the difference between an eved and a ben chorin, and this gets kind of to the core. What I would call the way he thinks about maybe Pesach, the whole idea of Zman Cheruteinu. This key paragraph here at the bottom. Ha'evdel shebein ha'eved leben chorin enenu rak hevdel ma'amadi. Which means the difference between a slave and a free person isn't just a status or a title, that one person maybe physically limited in their where they are, where they can be. The other one, free movement versus being in jail. That would be like classic way to think about it. He says, "Mashiv in mikre zehu." It's on the back side. Zehu mishuabad lacher v'zehu bilti mishuabad. He said, "It's true that maybe it's just like coincidence that one person happens to be." Enslaved, quote unquote, and the other person happens to be free, quote unquote. And what he means by this is in the next words. He says, "Anu yocholim limatzei eved maskil sheruchohu malech erut." you could find a person who is he's enslaved physically, right? But because he has maintained his freedom of thought, Sheruchohu Malecher, his spirit, his intellect is filled with freedom of thought and freedom of growth and worship. Lehefech ben Chorin Sheruchohu Ruach Shel Eved. And you can find a free person, right, who's a slave, which is a powerful concept, because people are slaves to a lot of things, even though they might say that they are, you know, free from the limitations of, you know, what a person who's an actual physically slave would be. But they're a slave to their job, they're a slave to their money, they're a slave to their smartphone, you know. Until you actually engage them in that conversation, people don't even necessarily reflect on it. The two examples that I always think about are Viktor Frankl. Are you familiar with Viktor Frankl? Dr. Viktor Frankl. He's a Holocaust survivor, and he was a psychiatrist. He invented a new type of therapy called logotherapy. So his whole he wrote a book called Man's Search for Meaning, and in his book he talks about, you've heard of it?
Right.
You have heard of it?
Right. Right.
Okay.
Put it on your list. Right. Then what helps them survive is having a drive.
Exactly. And that was how he said that people that survived the war, people that survived the camps, his experience were people that felt like they had a reason to wake up in the morning, you know, a reason to live the next day. Those who have a why, he had this line, those who have a why, you know, will be able to continue even with very little strength, even with very little. And the other example I think about is Nathan Sharansky's line from his book when he was being put on trial to go to the, you know, to go to the prison in Siberia, and the judge, and he basically says to the judge, he said, "I'm the free one." Like, he has this line where he says, "I'm the one who's free." And when you read the book, like, he literally lived his existence. You read Fear No Evil? Awesome. Two good books to put on your list: Man Search Your Meaning and Fear No Evil. I have a copy of Fear No Evil at home for tomorrow. So throughout his time when he was in prison, he never allowed the guards to manipulate his mind. You know, they could tell him to do this and do that, but he was always able to keep his faculties. So he would play chess games in his head against opponents. He was also a brilliant person, but he was able to maintain his sanity in such an isolating, challenging situation, because it's actually a great question to pose at a Pesach Seder. Who is truly a free person? What does it mean to be free? 2018. And, you know, how do we define freedom? You're smiling.
I think you have radical freedom, but that's not...
Okay, what do you want to say?
Radical freedom is a philosophical idea that true freedom is the freedom to do absolutely anything.
Right.
To sort of deny anybody else's...
Right. Mishnah Pirkei Avot, Ein Lecha Ben Chorin El Mi She'Oseik BaTorah. Is that in Pirkei Avot? Anyway, but
there is such a concept that if you're a slave of your own tribe, your own yetzer, then you're not really free.
Right.
I mean, you feel like you're doing whatever you want,
right,
but really you're just a slave of your own tribe.
Right. So he continues and he says, "Acheret tzivanini oto ruach anisa shadam v'chein am bichlal mitromem al yada liot ne'eman la'atzmiyut ha'pnimit shelo." Freedom is when you're, you know, I guess it's almost like people give a similar kind of definition to what's like the Jewish definition of simcha, of happiness. Happiness doesn't really have a word in Hebrew. Happiness is when you're doing the right thing, and you're involved in doing something that's the right thing. So he says that that's kind of the idea of cherut. He says when the nation is doing what it's atzmiyut apnimit shelo. That's like what its mission is, what its calling is. You realize this is who I am, this is what I have inside of me. It means like a meaningful life, like a life that's filled with purpose and a mission. Shehem shavim eterkam. Ma she'ein kein b'bal haruach shel avdut, the idea of slavery. There's no sense that there's some kind of goal or purpose of what the person is doing in their life. So just what the other person is telling you is what you should be doing. You know, it's almost like the whole industry of trying to be like somebody else, trying to copy what somebody else is doing in the society. That's not true chirut. You get to choose. You're free to choose, but it doesn't mean that you're truly a ben chorin in the definition that he's saying or he's saying.
It also doesn't sound like freedom is the right translation for chirut at all.
Right.
Right. And we have, I don't know if it's a midrash, but that right when we were freed from Egypt, right, we went from being Meshubah to Mitzrayim to being Meshubah to Hashem.
Right.
There was never a point at which
freedom from Israelites, freedom from freedom to.
Right. We're free to be ruled over by Hashem. Right. We never have the choice to do whatever we like.
Right.
That's not what chirut is, and that's what freedom is.
Right.
And that's also Rav Kook's definition. Has nothing to do with being able to do whatever you want.
That's true. He says in the end, even that level, somebody else is defining, you know, for you, what your way of activity is going to be.
What was said about that regarding clothing? Should I put someone else's name in my clothing? Who was?
You mean like wearing brands?
Yeah. Why, you think you're so fancy because you wear this, but you're not fancy at all. You're putting someone else's name in your clothing.
Correct.
When we translate free will into Hebrew, we say it's b'chira chofshi.
Right.
It's not chiruti.
No. It's true. It's true. But even that's also a question. What are you really choosing? Anyway.
Well, there, like, chofshi is like vacation, right? You can do whatever you want. There, you can do whatever you want. That's what we just call freedom.
Yeah.
Find a better word for it.
Here, and he says, bottom paragraph, right, that's like a strong line. Charut is engraved on the stones, on the tablets. The Gemara says, but the word that it's being rooted from is a word that means commitment, right? Commitment to something.
And that's where Zman Chirutinu comes from? It's this drasha? Or?
What's the source of Zman Chirutinu? It's not in the Psukim, because the Torah calls it Chag HaMatzot. Even Chag, it's not never called Pesach either in the Torah.
It's the 14th. It's the chorus.
Right. And we call it, like, we call Pesach. Where does Zman Chirutinu come from? It's a good question.
Not necessarily from right
there. I mean, it's a thematic name, if anything. You know, Chazal coined.
Because that's what we celebrate.
Right. Yeah. Although interestingly enough, like, not that it's the same parallel, Shavuot is not called Zman Matan Torah Tena by the Torah either, and it has that Although Sukkot is called Zman Simchati. Does say...
Well, we have it in the Tefillah.
Samachta Bechagecha, by...
Right. No, but we have in the Tefillah that we call... what's it called? Zman Chiruteinu, Zman Simchateinu. Zman Matantarateinu.
Right, I think it's...
And that's all from Sheikh Nesad Gedolah.
Right, I think it's the Kedusha Levi has a comment on that, where he says that the names that the Torah gives are not the names that we use in the Tefillah, because that's Hashem's connection to us through the Chag. Our connection to Hashem through the Chag is through the names that we gave. Like our relationship to the holiday is based on the categorizations of Chazal.
Yes. Like our mitzvah is to eat matzah. So I guess connect to Hashem eating matzah. But for us, the big deal is the
Pesach,
freedom.
Right, and the Pesach, freedom, the fact that Hashem, you know, went over the houses and we weren't killed by it.
Also, you could say Shavuot. Also, you could say like the big deal for us is that we got the Torah.
Right.
The big deal for Hashem is that for weeks we prepared to get close to Hashem and our level.
Yeah. Yeah. Matan Torah is not even mentioned anywhere by Shavuot. Saying in the parshiot of when the Torah gives the parsha of the Moadim, doesn't speak about Matan Torah, doesn't even hint to it. So it was all like a connection of, I mean, it's the same dates are the dates in the calendar, but that wasn't the focus. The focus is on the agricultural, you know, parts of the Chag. And
And Sukkot seems to be the one we use the same name.
Right.
We should find one. We should make one.
What was that?
We should make one.
We should make one what?
Well, we can make a name.
Make a name?
Controversial. Don't do it in my name.
Yeah. Right. So he says, so that's the goal. That's the goal of Pesach, to you know, go to the core of almost like asking the question, like, what's the mission of the Jewish people? You know, that's really, if you want to give it a, it's not going to be a one word definition. It's a definition of Cherut for Rav Kook is like mission oriented activities. You know, when you are fulfilling your mission as an individual or as a nation, that's the definition of Cherut.
It's being on the right path, doing the right thing,
being where you should be. He says in the next line, he says, "Nasava neilech lahavlit yoter v'yoter atzmautena haranana pnimi." Going to go further and further to express and bring out that independence and that inside of what we are, Shekanina al-dei gilui shechina, Tov cherut shekanina al-dei apela gadol yachib olam, and so Hashem gave us when He saved us. And same man beit shegalno Hashem yirav gadol avatin mitzayim cherut olam. Then He gives like a little bit of a bracha at the end. He says, "Bo'u na achim, come my brothers, el haseder kulanu. Let's go to the seder together. Yivadal lanu sheinenu bnei malachim. We should all know that we're all sons of kings. Ve'im shecherut hi goralo hanitzchi. Right, this idea." Of our cherut is our, it's a good word for goral. It's our calling or our destiny. Yeah, it's a good word. I like the word destiny. Our eternal destiny. Lo eved Yisrael, v'lo yelid bayit, v'lo yehi levaz me'az she'aser nasa b'ramah miyom chakiritino degel cherut u'biur chametz. That's the two that he's talking about. So the biur chametz. And the Cherut, that was what he started with in the beginning, our freedom and the Biur Chametz are connected one to the other, because the Biur Chametz allows us to, meaning Pesach is a unique opportunity because we're engaged in this spiritual cleansing, you know, of removing the slavery of our lives, removing the almost like what everybody else is telling us what our mission should be, what everybody else is telling us what we should like and what we shouldn't like and what we should be involved in and we shouldn't be involved in. That's the Biur Chametz. And then the Cherut comes as a result of the Biur Chametz. Sheyavo kemayim bekirbenu will come like water into our insides. Ukeshemen batzmatenu yadei koach ha'itanim shomifal kadosh ha'neman v'kaimenu dvar Hashem goel yisom me'olam v'ad olam shetzivanu lishmor et ha'mitzvot shamru et ha'cherut v'et biur ha'chametz Yigalu Meira Geula Shlema. Very nice. Okay, so that's the first idea as an opening to Pesach. What is Chirut? So we're giving our new definition as mission-oriented activities that express who we are.
Or the ability to carry out these mission-oriented activities.
Right, right. Meaning, I think the question really is, which he's not addressing, is, so what is our mission? What is the mission of the Jewish people in the world? What are we supposed to be?
Well, I mean, there you could argue that each individual have their own individual
right.
mission. So you can give a broad statement.
Right.
But the ability to carry out whatever that mission is, that's what we call freedom.
Right. Right. So he actually speaks on that idea a bit in the Kadesh, in the next piece. So Kadesh, as we know, is written in like a commandment form, as on the individual. So he's going to speak on this idea.
Can I tell a story? Before
we start? Say the story.
So I heard this in Ashur about 15 years ago. Probably in the year 2003, I'm not 100% sure. So the story was like this. It's a real story. It was probably in the Middle Ages, a Jewish guy in Europe that lived as a peasant under some landlord, and he didn't have the freedom to do mitzvot or anything. But one day a year, the Lord let him take a day off and do whatever he wanted. He would learn, he could do mitzvot, take time to put the tefillin, whatever. So he didn't know which day he should choose. So he wrote a letter to the whichever big rabbi was at the time, asking, telling him about the situation and asking what day he should choose. So at that point in the shiur, we were all discussing what day should be. Should it be Yom Kippur, Shabbat, or Shkodesh, whatever, right? So this is what he answered. He said, first of all, you should take the first day you can, because right. You don't know how long you're going to live. Take the first chance you have, take the first day you can. But then he said, even more so, and this is, I think, similar to what you were saying at the beginning, that even though you're busy doing stuff, they can't take your mind. That you can always,
right.
You can always doubt it. Like, even if you don't know the words or whatever, you can always talk to Hashem in whatever situation, or even in the middle of working. You cannot take your mind.
Very good. Yeah, that's the... I just saw a similar thing on this last week. Someone sent me, Mar Makomos on Purim, had a Shiloh like this. If a person gives you a very expensive bottle of wine on Purim, should you drink it on Purim, or should you wait until Pesach and drink it for the four Arba Kosot? It's interesting, like, different... You know, that question of, like, now, today, like, you have the opportunity now, versus, like, maybe you need, maybe it's a nicer wine, and Pesach really has an inyan of Mar Mishubach, of Yain, Adom, etc. Interesting, like, different sides to that question. But, that idea of Hayom, and, you know, accomplishing it now is part of it for sure. So let's see this piece here. So Kichelak Hashem Amo Yaakov Chevel Nachalato VaNachala HiNachalat Emet HaMe'oraot SheAlehem Yitnalu Adarot B'Tziyurehem Kedoshim Hem Darim Shel Amet Masit Shel Pi HaTvitza Yoter Pratid Yilolam Einenem Yishtanit Me'amitata. Okay. Al Kein Yesh Bekocha Liten Koach Chayim Pratiyim L'Kol Achad V'Achad MiYisrael. So each person is gonna, you know, is gonna have their own individual experience in life. At shekol tziur prati shebekol nefesh yichida, he mosifa bo or v'chayi olam lav l'dorata. Each person is gonna add a certain contribution, to the greater history. and the generations. Yesh ba kol achad miYisrael biyad kol achad miYisrael. Then kol kedushato kedusha mitzido el hayom lekadeshet hayom. Each person gives and lends their contribution of kedusha to the day, to the sanctify the day. Okay, in shorash hakidush. What's kiddush? That's what we're talking about here. Hapa'ali biyoter haprati hapo'al mitzidinu al hayom hu noveh b'yitziyat Mitzrayim. So here we're talking about the root of kiddush. So again, the idea of kadesh is that each person individually contributes to the kiddusha of the yom. So even though, and he's going to say this now, I think, even though yitziyat Mitzrayim was a very, like the whole chag is about the nation, it's about the people, it's about the group. Shouldn't get lost on the fact that each person has an input, right? In other words, he's kind of like questioning why is the step of the Megillah, the Seder, he's still holding by Purim. Why is it called in Lashon Yachid? It should be Kachenu. Right? If the whole concept of Pesach is about Yitziyat Mitzrayim as a nation, why are we focusing on the individual? So that's here. It's true that in the larger sense, the whole Yitziyat Mitzrayim was about the klal. There's still something that's going to shine through by each individual. Zeh koach hacherut. So there's something that he's comparing. Try to nail down exactly his comparison, but he's comparing seemingly, regular groups of people who go through some experience of, being freed from a certain slavery. They are affected by it or impacting afterward as a group, but not as individuals. Whereas the Jewish experience is going to be affected also by the individual. Okay, let's skip to this side. Can we go to this middle paragraph on the left side? The individual doesn't get swallowed into the sea of the klal in a way that they're lost, as an entity. Just it's almost like equal, just as important as the concept of the group, so as important as the concept of the individual. Olam maleu bifnei atzmo kalul vashir gadol v'niskav uchalko aparti behoda netzav v'gvan miyuchad v'tzeva v'yir v'chadash v'notem v'zol maleh kol chelak hatov chashuv v'nikar yisha kol achad miyuchad shvisov v'olam haba chelak hazeh v'ashor v'gol v'kocho am imzeh hu achuz v'achu b'kol. Okay, kol yisol yesham chelak hachelak v'aklal shepetzurah mitzumsem v'nugav olam v'gbal mochash, so on and so forth. I think the idea that I think he's saying and repeating here is this idea that even though Yitziyat Mitzrayim is really about the group experience of the Am, nevertheless, that doesn't take away the fact that the Kadesh, that's why it's Kadesh, is going on the individual. Each individual has a responsibility, but also an ability to contribute in their way to the greater club. All right, let's look at one last piece here quickly on the opening of Magid. So
related to the idea of the Jewish people having a separate enclave versus other nations having only a separate.
I think that's what he was alluding to. Shkacha pratit and a shkacha klali. Maybe. I didn't.
No, we'll go back and read it more carefully.
Because you're saying we commemorate sort of our freedom as a nation, as the only nation that has a shkacha pratit.
Right. Right.
Right.
Right. Right. Yeah. Whether he's saying that or not, whether he's saying that or not, I agree with the idea. I like it. So here he is interesting. He. Not the only one who says this, but he speaks about halachmanya on the right side. If Eresh Tam Haktamazot, he's going to explain why the Haggadah opens with this paragraph. On Yerush Shatiknul Achar Churban, he says he thinks that this was written after the Churban Beit Hamikdash. V'lama lo tiknu kodem Churban nusach ma laskir shezeh halechem achlu avotenu be'eretz Mitzrayim. So, you know, why didn't they create a text before the Churban about this? V'hayoter pela ki kodem she'elad manishana amar halachmanya v'imkein mamakshe shebechol leilod anochlim chametz u'matzah halomar mikodem ki yalechem azachlu mitzayim v'lechin yochlum lezeich. Everybody asks that question, right? Why are you asking in the manishana? L'alazef, we already said it in the halachmanya. We know, right? We know. We know exactly why, because he said in the halachmanya that they ate the matzah. So everybody asks that question. So he says a great word. It's a very nice thought. He says, "Achanira be'ezer Hashem yibarach labal yirach levavenu v'natziv pishenu agola nefilah shalanu begalutim." He says you could be sitting in galus, post churban, wherever you are in the world, and you can have a bad feeling, you know, a depressing feeling, yirach levav, sad feeling. Ein anu mekaymi mitzvah korban pesach. We're not able to do korban pesach. V'gam shalom emar lama niskor avdut. V'nachnu yom hazeh gam kein avadim. You know, we're also slaves today. Umana sis v'gulatenu. V'kodem v'ata nefcha lanu asimcha liyogon. Al zeh amar ki ha kealachman yeshein lanu mizbeach korban pesach. Ula v'alechem oni b'lo mitzvot ha'aretz. Right? So we remember a time, as we talk about it, our existence post-Churban is more like when the Jewish people were in Mitzrayim. And if they could have a Geula, right? Almost like a Kal v'Chomer, like a look at them. V'gam anachon nizkor Geula atida v'yechazek bitchonina b'Hashem v'imamal kol zeh achak elo. So that's kind of the why he's explaining why this was instituted in the Galut specifically. It was instituted in the Galut specifically to give people hope. It's really a tefillah of hope. And if you look and say the Jewish people went through an experience of Galut, everybody's going to eat. Everybody's going to sit and eat. It's Pesach nechal asova. Then he goes through each one, the matzah, the maror, and the whole thing. Even though we're not able to, you know, do it in its full sense, hashtahacha mikol makom anu mekavim lalop imirav yamenu leretz hakodesh l'shana ba berad Yisrael. And then he says a similar idea by Maror. We'll just read the last paragraph here on the back page where he finishes, and he says, "Ki hashta avdi mikom akom nekaveli gael b'mera v'lashana ba b'nei chorin aval ilu chas v'shom lo nigalnu." That's what we say in the Alachmanya. "As hayta b'teila tikvatenu," then our whole hope would have been lost. That's really his question. Why are we talking about another galut that we were in if we're in galut right now? The reason why we're talking about another galut we're in is because that galut led to a geula. So we stop and we say, oh, that's a galut that led to geula. we can have halachman is more of like a tefillah of hope that can bring us bezrat Hashem. Shortzina v'nisim v'lo meretz tumam v'beravadin liyot b'nei chorin v'ara the Yisrael.